Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? I am Dan Bovenmeyer. I am a pastor at Parkview Church. Long ago, I actually was a pastor here. And actually over across the road, and have been was at Grace for 10 years. So it's a pleasure and an honor to be back. I feel a lot of joy being here, and I'm excited to be here. So like we said and read earlier, we are in Proverbs chapter 4 today. So if you want to, if you have a Bible and open it, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And just reminder, last week, Bo led us through Proverbs 3. He was highlighting that wisdom is not just a good idea. It's relational. It's covenantal. He reminded us that wisdom invites us to trust in God's steadfast love and that walking with God, even when life offers tempting or confusing paths. So today, we're going to continue talking about wisdom. And I'm sure you guys know this, but the first nine chapters of Proverbs are written, a lot of metaphors that are written in here, but it's talking about the value of wisdom. And then the second, the two-thirds after that is all Proverbs, little snippets of wisdom. And so right now we're in this early section of Proverbs, and so we're talking about these large themes of wisdom. So to Proverbs 4, we're going to talk about fatherly instruction and how wisdom calls us to pursue life's highest priorities, to stay on the path of righteousness, and most critically, to guard our hearts. So why don't we pray together, welcome God into this time, and also just... this is a time to remember that we can intellectually know something, but we also need the word of God to penetrate deeply into us, to every part of our being. So as we pray here, this welcome God into our hearts and lives, and pray that he'll lead us through this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that wisdom is embodied in Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that there's so much that we have yet to learn. Lord, thank you that we don't have to sit here worrying about if we know every snippet and detail of wisdom, because the answer is we don't, but we do know you. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are here, that you will guide us and instruct us. Help us to not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you and know that you will make our paths straight. So Lord, lead us and guide us today. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so as I was reading through Proverbs here and preparing for it, I'm divided it up into three sections. So instead of reading through the whole thing together, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a section, we're going to talk about it, and then I'm going to read another section. So that's how we're going to approach the passage today. So we're going to start with Proverbs verse 1 through verse 9. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I'm just going to try to go along here if I can get this to work. There you go. Great. Gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teachings. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. When he taught me, he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Let me go back. I was thinking there was going to be kids in the audience, and I had a Minecraft illustration. So hopefully someone here still plays Minecraft. Okay, so let's just look at this text a little bit. I want to go back to verse 1 and 2. So it talks, it says here, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father." And this is what's interesting to think about, is that this learning, if you think about the times, the agrarian culture that we're in at this point, right? So most people are working out in fields or doing some sort of agrarian-related work. Probably a lot of shepherding of sheep. There was rolling hills at this time and season. People would have been doing a lot of work with livestock or crops or other things like that. So this isn't just passive learning. When it's talking about a passed-on learning here, it's this idea of living with someone, of being around them. And so this father's passing this instruction on to the child is a learning that is not just an intellectual bullet point, but it's a lived experience. It's learning and living alongside someone. My dad is super handy. He grew up on a farm, and he just learned to fix things all the time. And a lot of that he learned by being alongside his father, watching what he did, and then over time he learned to do it himself through trial and error. So the Hebrew word here, shema, when it says to hear, implies active attention and obedience. So you are not just looking for advice, you're actually with that person, learning and understanding how they are working. And so when they talk about wisdom here, this is not just bullet points or certain wise sayings, which are there, and those are deeply grounded in lived experience. But the idea here is that this is something that is supposed to be received, understood, and passed on to the next generation. And so wisdom here is something that is best learned in community. It's best learned with close proximity to somebody. And so there's this idea here of the father passing on the instruction to children. And so as we think about this idea here in this first section, we can ask the question, are we actively listening to God's instructions, and are we living it out? Do we have mentors that we go to, people that we look at, not just for advice, but beyond advice, even watching how they live, what they do, how they live out their life and every part of their life. And it's interesting here as we think about this too, is what would people gather from you? I was thinking a lot today, and it's always humbling to stand up here and teach, right? Because we're in an era, maybe we've always been in an era, but it seems like we're especially in an era right now where people are capable of teaching up front on a certain subject, but then when you see their real life, you see that there's a lack of wisdom, right? And so even as we think about it in a church, this is often that we can teach something from the front, but not live it out in practice. And so you see people struggling with church or struggling or maybe even feeling harm or hurt from a church. And oftentimes it is because, well, maybe something is taught from the front, it is not embodied and lived out as a community, right? And so the church is lacking, the church can lack wisdom, right? We can lack wisdom. We can have knowledge. We can have things that we can teach from the front. But in living it out, sometimes we lack this. And this can be the same with children. I've been taking a lot of psychology classes, and it's interesting to think about what is passed on, right? So it's not just family knowledge. It's not just knowing about certain things, but it's even how we live life, how we respond to adversity. When things go poorly, how do mom and dad respond? Oftentimes children are going to learn from that. And so even as parents, the wisdom you're passing on is not just intellectual wisdom, but it is how you respond to everyday life. When you're angry, what do you do? When you're sad, how do you respond to that, right? Or maybe we're people that clam it all up and don't have anything, and it's not a safe place to have emotions, right? So how we live and experience and walk through life, all of that is being talked about here as wisdom. This is not just, and this is intellectual, but it's beyond intellectual. So there's, it says here in verses 5, in verse 5, that you should get wisdom, you should get understanding. These are not optional. These are not, these are urgent and imperative. Go after these things. Make your life full of wisdom. Do not forsake her. She will guard you. Love her and she will preserve her. And one thing that's interesting here is that there is an impersonment that happens throughout the early part of Proverbs of wisdom being described as a woman. And I was kind of, it was a fascinating little side quest I went on, just going, why, how does this show up here, right? But throughout the early part of Proverbs, wisdom is described as a woman. And again, I think there's an embodiment there. It's like a lady wisdom, a protector and a preserver of wisdom. But I think, again, this probably goes to this embodiment idea. This is so important. This is not just intellectual stuff, but this is a way of life. This is how we live and work and are in the world. And so there's this embodiment here of wisdom that is throughout this whole passage. What's really interesting about this is that Colossians 2:3 says that Christ is in whom all is hidden, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so while there's an embodiment in the Old Testament of wisdom, this metaphorical embodiment of wisdom, Jesus, we would, as believers, we would say, look at Jesus and say, Jesus is actually the embodiment of wisdom. And so again, this even this idea of, as we read the Gospels, are we reading them, understanding that Jesus now is this wisdom, this revelation, and how he lived his life, what he did, how he lived, how he taught, how he practiced every part of his life is part of wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing, so it would be thought of as the first or the chief thing. So the ancient rabbis would have talked about the beginning of wisdom involves learning from teachers and then personally understanding the reasoning behind the teaching. And so as you learned wisdom from a rabbi in this ancient time, how you would learn it would be you would learn the idea, but then you would learn the reasoning as well. And this should be a guidance to every part of your life. And so when you ran into a situation, you wouldn't just have something that was memorized in your head, but you would understand the reasoning behind it, the logic for how we got there. And so that should be able to give you guidance then to how you engage with these things. And we're going to get into some of those things later. Right now, it's kind of this overview of how this looks. In verse 9, it talks about how this, how wisdom will place a garland on your head. She'll bestow you with a beautiful crown. And so what it's saying here is that when we live wisely, when we embrace wisdom, when we live by wise ways, there is a payoff. There is a honor that will come to you for being wise. So as we think about what does it mean to be wise, and I had a time for kids and adults, so hopefully this is now a time for adults. This is a Minecraft treasure, right? So if you get good treasure in Minecraft, you dig up the jewels, you craft something really awesome, you keep it safe in your treasure chest so nothing else can get it, right? So your most prized possessions go in here. I remember one time the angst that my son Jacob had because he forgot to put his diamond sword at the time in the treasure chest. Someone took off with it and he was devastated, right? So you put your treasure in your chest. So what we prioritize, we put in there, right? So are we walking wisely and do we value the wisdom of God in every part of our life? Are we making it our most treasured thing? So in how we do treat our careers, our finances, our hobbies, in every single way, we got to treat the wisdom of God as the most valuable thing that we have. Okay, let's turn then to verse 10, and we're going to read verses 10 through 19, and we're going to talk the tale of two paths, lightness and darkness. So it says here, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I will instruct you in the ways of wisdom and will lead you through straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. They will eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, brighter, shining even brighter than the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So here we're talking about there is two different paths that we can go on. There's the way of the wise and the way of the wicked. So we're talking here, there's the central metaphor here of a way of life. And so when you're talking about a path, this is a journey you're on, right? You're making decisions to go a certain way. And so this path is that is the center part of going after something that is good. I got this turned backwards. Okay, yeah, there we go. I was like, we're not on verse 20. Okay, so when you walk, your steps will be not be hindered. If you run, you will not stumble. And so this idea is if you walk on this wise path, your steps will not be hindered. And you run, you will not stumble. I was on the Camino Trail last summer. And so when you're on that good path where it's just smooth and flat, you could just cruise. And I would have like my, be watching how fast I'm going, and you could just be cruising, making up time. And then there's other times you're on this crooked or hard path, and it was very difficult. And so it's when you're on the wise path, there is ways that we can get ahead in life. We can go faster. We can receive the blessings of being wise in what we do. Verse 13 says, hold fast to instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. And so this idea is that are we holding on to these wise parts, that the wisdom of God? Are we holding it on to every part of life? Are we focused on that? Contrasting that is the way of the wicked. In verse 14 through 17, it really lays this out. So it says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evildoers. So there's this warning here to avoid the company of evildoers. And again, I wonder if we need to be discerning as a culture and a society today. Are we looking at the paths of the wicked, right? So not just what they say, but the direction they're going on. So if you look at someone, you see it, then maybe someone is saying something and it's intriguing and it's wise, but do they treat everyone around them awfully, right? Are they narcissists full of themselves? Instead of full of God. And so look at the path, look at the direction of where someone is going. Don't just listen to what they say, but look at their life and their example. Those are the sort of people that you want to follow, are those that are following the righteous path of God, not just saying the right things. Goes on, though, to talk about how they cannot sleep unless they've done evil. They're robbed of slumber unless they've made someone stumble. And so just talking about this goes beyond foolishness. This is evil. This is wickedness. People that are intent in bringing downfall and calamity to other people. But there's a contrast there, obviously. It says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full of day. That's in verse 18. And so there's this idea of illumination, divine clarity, where God is leading. It says as the light of God is a light to our path, right? And so the light of God goes before us. In Matthew 13:43, it says the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. And so there's even this idea, this tie-in in the New Testament of if we follow the path of Jesus, that God will give us wisdom and discernment as we walk forward. 2 Peter 1:19 speaks of the dawning of the sun, which is pointing to Christ's coming and the believer's progressive sanctification towards glory. And so this idea of that as Jesus entered our world, it was like the dawning of sunlight. It was the break of dawn when light breaks across the horizon, right? And so then Jesus is that light. And that light guides us down the righteous path and will end us with righteousness with the Father one day as we walk in that path. So we think here about this. We think about the two different paths that we can go on. I forgot to do the verses. Okay, sorry about that, guys. So you have these two paths, so path of righteousness and path of wickedness. And we really do need to make the path of what that is. And so wisdom would say, look carefully at the paths of where people go. One thing I will do is that new theologian or someone who's writing comes out is I will carefully read what they say, right? So you got to look at, to say, is it wise or is it foolish, right? But then the thing I'll look at is I'll be careful not to jump on too soon. I've learned this over time, right? Because oftentimes they may be able to write a brilliant book, but they're practicing foolishness in their life, right? And so are we following people that are walking in righteousness? And that leads me back to again and again to that the one person that has walked most wisely in the history of the world is Jesus, right? So are we students of the path of Jesus? Are we students of what the words, the deeds, the actions of Jesus, how he lived and died was? And as we know that, I think it helps us understand also the counterfeits, people that maybe sound good but are not, right? And we're at a place today that there's sometimes people that are just outright evil. There's just outright evil in this world that at times we need to turn away from. Now, what we got to think about with that is how do we do that? And that is the ongoing wisdom that we face even today. Even right now, literally being turned on the news, and depending probably where your political views are, you're going to have different reactions. But right now, we're at war again as a country, right? And so we have to decide, what does this look like for us? What does this mean? What is our path within this? But what we have to remember and what I have to keep reminding myself is that I am not in myself the breaking of dawn, right? That is Christ. So the breaking of dawn is Christ and our culture and life. So we must turn to Christ first and look for the path that Christ has led us, right? Look for that light and walk on the light of what that is. And I think it can be easy when we don't do that to go into maybe well-intentioned paths, but sometimes places that will lead us to foolish places. Okay, I did not look at time when I got up here. How am I doing, Debo? I'm doing good. Okay. All right, so let's go to the last section. So we're on verse 20. I think I'm going to read up here so I can make sure to keep up with the slides. Proverbs 20 through 21. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are the life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your limbs. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. Okay, so this last part is we're talking about the wellspring of life or the heart. And there is a main point here that we need to understand, which is paramount for our heart to be full of wisdom for us to be able to flourish. And I find this, again, in biblical counseling, everything else, I start immediately thinking about the mind and the heart, right, and the interaction between the two. Because oftentimes we can know something, but then in our actions and how we respond to things, I will see all sorts of things flow out of my own heart and go, whoa, 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 where did that come from, right? And so there is this important thing of understanding where is wisdom? Is it in my mind, and also is it in my heart? So verses 20 through 23, it says, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We need to internalize the word of God in our minds and then do the work of being able to move that wisdom from our minds down into our hearts. In Proverbs 1:19-11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that may not sin against you. Right, and so there is this movement from understanding the word of God into moving it into our heart so that it can guide and direct our own reactions and behaviors throughout every part of life. Verse 22 here, it says that these are life for those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Really interesting to think about here that the words of God can be healing to us. right? And so there can be a healing and a nourishment that we can receive from God's word that goes not just an intellectual correction, but an actual healing that encounters as we walk with God. I know for me, an example of this is this last year I've been doing a lot of prayer walks. I will go on long 2 to 3 hour walks because I get ramped up anxiety-wise. Oftentimes I have to walk maybe for an hour just before I kind of get into a place of just noticing the trees and being present in the life around me. And so I'll go on these long walks. But once I kind of have calmed down a little bit, right, I will get to this place where I will start going through a psalm. And Psalm 23 is a really easy one, right? That one's fun to have memorized, right? Because you can just start going through these different parts of the psalm. And so I'll say a phrase from the psalm, and then I'll think about where I'm at emotionally in that moment. Where am I actually, am I here? Do I believe this to be true? Not just up here, but in here, right? In my own heart, in my own life, is that true? And so there's so many opportunities and ways that we can start moving things that maybe we know into not just knowing intellectually, but knowing within our whole being. And that can bring healing to us as we walk in that wisdom. Verse 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, from it flow the springs of life. And this is really a crescendo of the chapter, right? So the idea here of this heart is not just emotions, but it's the entire being, intellectual, will, emotions, conscience, it's the comprehensive center, it's the core of one's identity. And so the verb here, guard, implies vigilant protection, like a watchman guarding a city from attack. So you are aware of all these different parts of yourself. And the heart is at the center of all this, and you're protecting it. And so then it talks about springs of life. These are our actions. So out of our heart flows all these things. So these are the things you do. These are your words, your actions, your decisions, your relationship, your character. They all come from this wellspring of the heart, right? So the quality of your life comes from this understanding and the ability to understand what God is telling us, and then comprehensively living that out in every part of our being and knowing that in every part of our body. So this is from the Camino Trail. That's my friend Sergey. He's from Romania. We were traveling together. Several pastors, we met up and we traveled together. And that is a mountain stream, and there's a, you can't see it very well, but there's a little pipe, and water's flowing right out of that, right? And so we had run out of water, and they were drinking out of it, and I was sitting here panicking, because I'm like, if my wife knows that I'm drinking mountain water, I'm in deep trouble, right? I'm going to be hearing about it for days. So he was drinking it. I have videos of him drinking it. My other buddy did as well, and I didn't. And they had a much better trip the next couple hours because they had water and I didn't, right? And yet I was like, they're going to be in bad shape tonight. Nope, they were fine because it was a pure mountain stream. They had found a good stream of water. And in ancient times, before we had water filter systems and all the things that we have today, right, it was imperative to find good water, right? And in an arid desert environment like the Middle East, especially imperative, right, to find good fountains of water, right? So you are not going to, if you cannot water your flocks, if you cannot put water on your crops, if you cannot drink healthy water yourself, all of these things, there will be no life, right? Life will go away. And so it is imperative that you have this water as a spring of life that you pour into your heart. So, there's some practical implications in 24 through 27 that come with this. It says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. And so guard our mouth. Our words reveal our heart. Matthew 12, 34, 35 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 15, it says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles you as a person. And so watch what you say. And what I would say too is, I'll be mad, something will set me off, I look at a news, and I can feel the words coming, right? And they're bubbling up. First of all, watch who you're around and what you say, right? Because those can be life-taking. And then what do you do when those words are already there, right? They're already in you. You're already thinking those things. For me, it's anger, oftentimes, because I'm a dude, right? So I cover up all my emotions with anger. And so for me, it's a lot of times that anger is what comes out first. But it can be other things too, despair, sadness, different things, right? So what do we do when those things come forward? Well, we have to go back to that light source, right? We have to go back to that source of life and ask and invite God into telling us what is true about what we're thinking and feeling. And what we also have to remember is that through the gracious mercy of Christ, right? Through the gracious mercy of Christ, he has taken our sins upon us, right? And so we can approach this throne where Christ now sits at the right hand of God, knowing that he will intercede for us. And so when we're in those moments where there's angry words or there's despair or there's doubt or fear or whatever those things are, we can go to this throne of mercy, knowing that we will be, that Christ will intercede on our behalfs. He has already sacrificed on our behalfs, and we can be right with Jesus even when our words are not right. It says also in verse 25, to let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. So guard your eyes. Where you focus your eyes is going to be a focus of what you're thinking, right? And so if you focus your eyes at you know, some bleak show for hours, that might be okay. There might be a season for that, but also that might affect your mood. It does for me, right? And so whatever the thing is, wherever you focus your eyes, what do you give yourself to? It's interesting to look. I did an audit of my phone, like just to look at where my eyes went, right? Because that's interesting to see where you were at your eyes. A lot of social media and a lot of news, right? And two games. So I deleted the games because I was avoiding things with the games, right? So I was avoiding my feelings. A lot of news. I hit all the news stuff. So I have times of the day now I go to the news and then I'm like, I cannot be doom scrolling the news right now, right? And the same with social media. It's just so easy to get wrapped up in that, right? So an example of guarding your eyes is just bringing awareness to where is your attention throughout your day? Where do you give a lot of your attention to? If you are in a certain news source for 3 to 4 hours a day, I'm going to promise you, wisdom will say that will push us in a certain direction, and we will start to think and go down those paths, right? So guard your eyes, guard where you're focusing yourself to. That's why I go for walks. I can go outside and look at God's creation and go, there are still beautiful leaves in this world, right? I can look at a leaf or a bird, all these. I don't know. I'm fascinated with birds. It's really amazing, really, when you think about it, that God has given us creatures that fly. It's really cool. And it's amazing to look at that, like the range of different things that they do. But it's just amazing. Like, what a blessing from God to have these flying creatures. So cool. Ponder the paths of your feet, verse 26. And then all your ways will be sure. So be intentional about what you do, what you focus on, where you go. Be intentional with what you give yourself to. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn the foot away from evil. And so this idea here is stay on that narrow path of following and watching what God has for us. So as we come to our conclusion here, as we look at this, we need to remember that our heart will be torn. There will be this split nature within us, right? There's part of us that longs for good and part of us that will go off on selfish desires, vain conceits, and it can be desperately sick. Our heart can be desperately after things that are not right. Spurgeon called the heart a reservoir, and sometimes he noted the difficulty of guarding this is due to the wickedness and deceitfulness that is all around us and that can fill our own heart. So I just want to go to Jesus here, the last bit, and just talk about a couple different things. So Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. So when we guard our hearts, I want to remind you we're not alone. The peace of God will guard your hearts. So will you allow the peace of God to be something that you know and also experience? Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, every thought should be held captive to obey Christ. And so what are we doing here? We are inviting Christ into every part of our heart and mind. Tim Keller identifies Jesus as the personified wisdom of the Old Testament. And so when we believe the gospel, the good news that Jesus came and approached us in our brokenness, that he lived and cared for those around us, he died for our sins, and he was raised, ascending into heaven. When we believe that gospel, those qualities, that is understanding the core wisdom of life. And when we believe that, we got to remember people like Augustine, who talks about our restless hearts. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee, in God. And so today we are going to remember the gospel in communion. And so we are going to remember that the pursuit of wisdom is not something that is just something we earn. It's not just something that we do. That's not the gospel. But instead, it is something that God has done for us, but we can joyfully receive. And pursuing wisdom should be a response to the grace that's already given. And so Christ has walked this for us. We can walk in response to that. We can guard our hearts because Christ has already secured them, right? When we have believed in Christ, our hearts have already been secured by Christ. And so there is a work that he is going to do that will lead us in the right way. So can we submit and walk in the path as God already works in our hearts? And remember that we are not just producing our own light, but the light we produce is that of Christ, right? So Christ keeps us from stumbling. He keeps us moving forward today.